RTV's radio network service. Here is the news read by Snowcell Ano Ebier. The Minister of Public Health has pledged government's commitment to take care of a 32-year-old woman who gave birth to four babies at the Marowa Regional Hospital. An emergency project to fight against food crises worth 60 billion francs to be funded by the World Bank and the government has been launched in Cameroon. Cameroon recently observed the International Day of Photography as a powerful tool for capturing memories and telling stories with pictures. The 7 p.m. in-depth segment will examine the place of photography in people's lives. Cameroon's under 18 basketball lionesses have qualified for the 2024 Women's Under 18 Afro Basket Tournament to take place this September. Those are the main points. Now the news in full. Brain scientists and clinicians from across the globe who have been meeting in Yaoundé over the last 3 days have presented the Yaoundé Declaration on Brain Economy, Brain Health, and Brain Capital. This was during the official opening ceremony of the first high-level scientific summit on brain economy. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph Dion Gute, who represented President Paul Biya at the event, said Cameroon is committed to investing in facilities to advance brain health and well-being amongst the population. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports.
The brain is the source of human creativity and resilience, and thus at the center of the very survival of planet Earth. Yet the same brain is more and more exposed to challenges like neurological and mental disorder. Experts say about half of the population will face some kind of mental disorder at one point in life. High and low middle income countries stand to bear the highest economic burden from brain disease. That is why the Brain Research Africa Institute and partners organized the Yaoundé Summit to place Africa at the fore of brain economy and brain capital development. Brain scientists and clinicians from the five continents attending the summit have been sharing experience and knowledge on the brain in order to ameliorate understanding of its functioning and of its impact on the economy, health, and the well-being of mankind. During the opening ceremony at the Yaoundé Conference Center, the African Union, represented by Professor Sammy Beban-Chombo, President of the Cameroon Academy of Sciences, hammered on the importance for the continent to position itself at the center of global efforts to develop brain capital. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Dion Gute, representing President Paul Biya at the ceremony, said Cameroon is committed to promoting brain health and to invest in facilities to advance brain research. Joseph Dion Gute said the organization of the high-level scientific summit marks a turning point for Cameroon and the international community in the comprehension and management of the brain. The PM presented congratulatory messages from the head of state to the organizers of the summit. During the opening ceremony, the brain scientist presented the Yaoundé Declaration on Brain Economy, Brain Health, and Brain Capital. The declaration lays the roadmap on how Africa can leapfrog other economies in developing brain economy. The experts advocated for the declaration to be presented during the 79th session of the UN General Assembly, to be presided by Cameroon for the very first time, as Africa's call for action for mobilization in the development of the brain economy on the continent. Christian Chiatam, CRTV, the Yaoundé Conference Center.
The Minister of Public Health says the government will ensure the health care of 32-year-old Mai Wong and her quadruplets. Minister Manauda Malashi was speaking this evening at the Marowa Regional Hospital shortly after visiting the mother and her babies. Amos Enonyaket Agbo reports from CRTV Far North in Marowa.
The heavy downpour this Thursday afternoon did not stop the Minister of Public Health, Manauda Malashi, as he arrived at the Marowa Regional Hospital to visit 32-year-old Mai Wong and her quadruplets. Mai Wong, who gave birth in the locality of Baduki, was referred to the Marowa Regional Hospital following instructions from the Public Health Minister. The babies are well taken care at the Marowa Regional Hospital, and the Minister of Public Health adds that the government will stop at nothing to ensure that all Cameroonians have access to proper health care. Marowa, Amos Enonyaket Agbo, CLTV News.
In the following excerpt of an interview, Minister Manauda Malachi says the government will take care of the quadruplets till they are safe to go back home.
I come here to see how they are taking care of the babies and how feel the parents, currently the mother. So I think I'm very satisfied for the care they give them. And these young newborns are very quite normal. His Excellency Paul Biya has instructed to take care of all Cameroonians. I send the ambulance to go and pick them at home and bring them here and in the regional hospital. Everything is free here for them.
The Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Gabriel Mbairobe, has launched the emergency project to fight against food crises in Cameroon, with a reassurance to farmers and livestock breeders of government's determination to accompany them fight food insecurity. The project, worth more than 60 billion francs, sponsored by the World Bank and the Cameroon government, is being executed through strengthening capacities and providing financial and material support for food production to farmers and breeders in the northwest and five other regions of the country to facing food insecurity. Let's now listen to the reaction of Minister Gabriel Mbairobe shortly after launching the project. He spoke to Mebel Mekemdi Sakem.
This project aims to give humanitarian assistance to vulnerable population. We give them food, cash transfer, and we give them seeds and some agricultural inputs. The second component of the project is to strengthen the productive capacity of farmers that include improved seed and seedling, fertilizer, small agricultural tools like power tillers. Many people have been trained to use those power tillers and to help them to construct some communitary infrastructure in order to master the use of water and to be resilient against the climate change shocks. So I invite all the farmers to make good use of these inputs, and I would let them know that the government will always support them and help them to recover their economic capacity.
The Minister of Arts and Culture, Bidun Kwat, has pledged his ministry support to the Sono Ella Foundation and Cameroonian opera singer Akwa P. Antoine in the organization of the 7th edition of their cultural festival of the people of the Kang and a grand musical concert to promote opera music in Cameroon. The delegations met with the minister earlier today to discuss the importance and organization of both events. On to the in-depth segment. As far back as the early 19th century, when the first picture was shot by Joseph Nisofo Nipse, photography still stands as a pillar of archiving. The practice in today's society has become the way of life to many. FOC Babatunde spoke to some people and put together the following report for the news.
Photos or pictures provide glimpses into long-ago events and forgotten places. They preserve memories and serve as a medium for creative expression, enabling photographers to convey emotions, stories, and perspective through visual energy, confirming the assertion that a picture is worth a thousand words. With the advent of technology, archiving has been made easier, with the mobile phone playing a pivotal role.
Photography has been made more easier. Unlike before, where we could use only cameras to take pictures, there are mobile phones which have cameras and we can take pictures at any event. The pictures are saved in our phones with hard drives.
For some, photography is a daily routine.
It is a means for me to showcase what I do to the world. In my business, I am able to take pictures of my daily designs.
Quality is a key factor in archiving, as explained by Stone Mirror.
I love to keep archives. The very best way is when you hire videographers for your events and not amateurs. I go as far as hiring drone technicians to cover my events and take all the angles necessary. And that way, I have the confidence that in 10 years to come, I'll have quality images and videos to remember my event.
As days go by, modern tools and gadgets for photography are invented to affirm the importance pictures or photos play in preserving memory.
Storytelling with pictures is a powerful way to capture the world around people, thereby enabling a connection between the viewer and the subject of photography by leaving a lasting impact. Patience Ringo discusses more in the following write-up.
Storytelling photography is a powerful medium that goes beyond capturing beautiful images. It involves crafting a photo story that conveys a narrative, evokes emotions, and engages the viewer. Visual storytelling is important in today's fast-paced world to grab attention and create a lasting impact. Narrative photographers create images that transcend immediacy and resonate with a wider audience. Composition, lighting, and post-processing techniques play a crucial role in storytelling photography. Though not regarded as important in the past, it's now becoming a very solicited job. Well-paid photographers could only be hired by top institutions in the past. But thanks to the digitization era, more people are taking photography to another level as the sector is fast becoming lucrative, especially during weddings, birthdays, installations, sports tournaments, among other ceremonies. Many photographers in the past could organize exhibitions, mostly under private initiatives, in addition to the prowess of institutions like Cameroon Tribune and the Cameroon Radio Television to consistently organize photo exhibitions. At a global level, the government, through the Photographic Art Poll, affiliated to the Ministry of Arts and Culture, organized its first exhibition in 2022 under the theme Photography at the Service of the Cameroonian Nation for the Conservation of Peace and National Unity. The terrain of photography is, however, not free from the hands of amateurs who water down the good works of professionals. Photos that tell a story have the power to transport the viewer to a different time and place, to make them feel a range of emotions, and to leave a lasting impression with their photography. Award-winning photo events are what are lacking to make the photography profession more competitive in Cameroon.
The guest on the 7 p.m. news tonight is one of the country's revered photographers, Penjo Baba, Chief Executive Officer of Penjo Studios. His passion for photography has grown with him striking business deals in and out of Cameroon. He has also been helping many young photographers and content creators hone skills in digital photography and more. Penjo Baba shares his experience on how he found a niche in photography and how the profession has evolved with the introduction of digital apps over time. He spoke with Patience Wengo.
From when I started photography, it was all of very small digital cameras, Canon. The quality was not that best at that time. But today, with the arrival of a lot of high-quality cameras and other applications and accessories, a lot has changed. Some people get up today and just buy those things, which is good. My main thing is, when you want to buy your equipment, the best you can buy in the market, you should know how to use them. You should know the quality of pictures or the kind of pictures you want to take with them. Because sometimes you're having a big camera and then the person having that low quality camera will get very good pictures. Picture is first of all telling the story. The angles we have is the most important thing. It's not about camera that took the picture. My passion for photography came about 2004, 2005, when I was working in the local communities doing water projects with my partners from the U.S. And so I was always taking pictures of our projects, and my partners were more of photographers too back in the U.S. But I was taking these pictures to attach to our reports of our project. When my team was working, I was taking pictures, and I began to love the pictures, and I could see a lot of beauty, a lot of nature. So I started taking pictures aside our report pictures. I think the qualities of a professional photographer, I would say, is not just for money, but it's about telling a story. The way your eye sees it is the way the lens captures it. Because professionalism as well is when you understand that the picture you are taking is not just take and give it to the person and all of that. It's about the moment. So I do organize photography training, and I do mostly 2-3 a year. And there are so many passionate youths who are very interested in learning photography. So the only issue with the youths, when they see people like me and other people doing well in photography, but they will always focus on the money. And the moment you are training somebody, when they know how to operate a camera, they will leave and go. You'll see them already having their own photography business. At the end of the day, they will still come back to you to ask for help. The training you are giving them, they do not know that it takes time. It takes time because you need to show them a lot about photography, and then the quality of work you are producing also should represent the money or whatever you're asking.
This news is broadcast from Yaoundé, the national station of the Cameroon Radio Television, CRTV. We have this press release from the Center Governor's Office. The Governor of the Center Region informs road users that circulation is henceforth prohibited on the Yaoundé-Douala motorway, which has not been officially opened between Corbison and Bumiabel to heavy-duty lorries and vehicles, 70-seater buses and other heavy-duty trucks. The present measure, which takes effect from the date of signature of this press release, participates in protecting the road. Any defaulter shall be exposed to the sanctions provided by the regulations in force. The governor counts on the sense of civic responsibility of these categories of road users. Done in Yaoundé on the 22nd of August 2024, signed the governor, Nasiri Porbia. Secondary education officials in the East region have been exhorted to join in the fight against corruption by denouncing all forms of bribery in the school milieu, especially during back-to-school preparations. The statement was made by a team from the National Anti-Corruption Commission, CONAC, as they visited several schools in Bertoua. Pearl Star reports from CRTV East.
The sensitization caravan, championed by anti-corruption officials in the city of Bertoua, is geared towards ensuring a corruption-free 2024-2025 school resumption. While touring different secondary schools in Bertoua, the CONAC team took out time to exchange with school officials on anti-corruption measures and urged them to join in the fight against this cankerworm so their students can follow in the same light. Titi William Etwe is head of the CONAC sensitization team in the East.
We should shun corruption by denouncing acts of corruption to CONAC, by saying no, by breaking the chain for the public. We just call on them to adopt integrity and then to call CONAC in case you are faced with a corruption situation, to using of the commission's numbers put at the disposal of the public. First of all, the hotline, which is the toll-free number, 1517.
Anti-corruption notices, flyers, and stickers were put up in and out of the different campuses to create awareness and remind persons that the law will not fail to hammer on anyone who is found guilty of corruption. Bertoua, Pelsa, CRTV.
A two-day conference to equip pharmacists with up-to-date medical laws has opened in Douala. Organized by the Council of the National Pharmaceutical Society of Cameroon in partnership with the Ministries of Public Health and Higher Education. Journalism student on internship, Nchine Lovett, reports from CRTV Littoral.
The Council of the National Pharmaceutical Society of Cameroon is organizing this conference for pharmacists all over the country to keep them abreast with innovations in the pharmaceutical industry. Dr. Nga Edward Zer is Vice President of the National Council of Pharmacists.
Continuous education is part and parcel of the pharmacy profession. What happens is when people graduate from school and they start working, most of them don't go back to their books. And then as time is going, you know, science is dynamic and things are changing every day. So to encourage people to be up to date with the current information, we'd organize programs like this.
The conference is an opportunity for many to learn, exchange ideas, and network. It also covers different areas of the pharmaceutical industry, like the community pharmacy, industrial pharmacy, and hospital pharmacy. Dr. Gino Njome Bamjong is a community pharmacist.
This program is one of its kind. It's an inaugural program in continuing education that permits professionals to be able to keep in touch with the updates in the pharmaceutical sector. Today I'm practicing in community pharmacy, so there are a lot of things that are going to learn and also be reminded on.
The maiden edition of the conference was used to remind the participants to always abide by the ethics of their profession. Chine Lovette, CRTV News, Douala.
The Christian Men Fellowship, CMF, of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon now has a new national president. Brother William Tuvangier was elected to that position yesterday in Boyam after securing 31 out of 36 votes cast by presbytery presidents, regional secretaries, and regional presidents of the CMF. Brother Foga Patrick of the East Mongo region was elected first vice president. Brother Buma Charles of the Northwest emerged as second vice president, while Brother Sumelong Awasume of the Southwest is a national publicity secretary. The CMF national election was supervised by the senior clerk of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, Reverend Mickey Hans Abia. In news out of Cameroon, many Nigerians have reacted with outrage after a new plane was bought for President Bola Tinubu at a time when the economy is experiencing its worst crisis in a generation. The purchase comes less than 2 weeks after thousands took to the streets across the country to protest at rising hunger and the cost of living. Elected last year to lead Africa's most populous country, Mr. Tinubu has introduced several economic reforms, including the removal of fuel subsidies, which have contributed to high inflation, currently over 30%. In sports, the under-18 women's basketball team of Cameroon have qualified for the 2024 Women's Under-18 Afro Basket Tournament to take place in September. They defeated the Democratic Republic of Congo in a double confrontation in Kinshasa. Harrison Ashutiku has the details.
The under-18 basketball team of Cameroon were determined to secure a ticket to the under-18 women's FIBA Afro Basket to take place in South Africa. They outsmarted their opponents from the Democratic Republic of Congo in all the two meetings of the qualifiers. In the first, they won by 75 to 49 points. And on Wednesday night, they back home the precious ticket with a 67 to 50 points victory. It is the first time that Cameroon will be competing in the under-18 women's Afro Basket. So far, 11 teams have qualified for the tournament that will take place in Johannesburg from the 1st to the 13th of September. Mali have dominated the competition, winning 8 of the 16 editions held so far. With 12 appearances, the winner of the competition will qualify for the FIBA Under-19 Women's Basketball World Cup.
Cameroon's women's top-tier champions, the KA Football Girls, will tomorrow in Kinshasa face DR Congo Giants Tupuisa Mazembe in their third outing at the ongoing UNIFAC tournament. With 4 points and second on the standings, the flag bearers of Cameroon, Lekie Football Girls, have just one option to win the match and qualify for this year's CAF Champions League. Ben Collins Nyiberiwo reports.
The Lekie Football Girls of Yaoundé, Cameroon versus Tupuisang Mazembe of Kinshasa, DR Congo clash has been described by many as the final of the Central African Football Federation's Union UNIFAC tournament. The two occupy the first two spots on the standings with 2 points separating them. Victory for the champions of Cameroon Women's Top Tier League, Lekie Football Girls, who are second on the standing, is thus imperative. The double champions of Cameroon, who were promoted to the Top Tier League in 2022, have played 2 matches at the UNIFAC tournament, recording a win and a draw. They have scored a total of 11 goals. Coach Stefan Zana and team have just one equation to solve and pick a ticket to the next CAF Women's Champions League. It is against Tepe Mazembe, who are fighting for their third ticket to that continental tournament. After missing the last edition of the Champions League in Côte d'Ivoire, the head coach of Tepe Mazembe, Lamia Bumedi, and team are determined to return to the event and fight for glory. In their first 2 outings at the UNIFAC tournament on home soil, Tepe Mazembe made up of players from the Democratic Republic of Congo and other African countries, scored 11 goals and recorded 2 victories. The battle might thus be tough for Lekki football girls, but make no mistake, David defeated Goliath.
To end this news here once again are the main points. The Minister of Public Health has pledged government's commitment to take care of a 32-year-old woman who gave birth to 4 babies in the Far North region. An emergency project to fight against food crisis worth 60 billion CFA francs to be funded by the World Bank and the government has been launched in Cameroon. Cameroon recently observed the International Day of Photography as a powerful tool for capturing memories and telling stories with pictures. The 7 p.m. in-depth segment today examined the place of photography in people's lives. Cameroon's under-18 basketball Lionesses have qualified for the 2024 Women's Under-18 Afrobasket Tournament to take place this September. That's the end of the news from Yaoundé.